This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley with me on camera, as he is for Mock Draft Mania. We do it once a week. And as we record this, Tucker, we are literally 4 weeks away from the first round of the NFL Draft. This is where the mock drafts start to get, I always think they get a little more interesting the more you go, because we've seen the same ones like for 3 weeks now. So now people start putting a little different twists on the ones we see.
Yeah, and you start to see not just what people think might happen, what they would do. You see different themes. Yep. And I also think it's interesting, you know, how much of this stuff do we believe this time of year? How much is it smokescreen? How much is it teams trying to, you know, trade up and trade down and you know, force other teams to play their hand before they do? Yep. I think this is really a month of sort of disinformation as we come barreling down towards round one of the draft.
So we're going to get to this latest mock draft. Mike Tannenbaum over at ESPN. I think it's a fascinating mock draft, but the misinformation or throwing people off thing, I don't know what's going on, but doesn't it feel like Jim Harbaugh has sent the NFL into a tizzy? He started the hype train for J.J. McCarthy. He was on Colin Cowherd's show, and he said he's the best quarterback in the draft. He's going to go way higher than you think. And now it's happening. Like, he's going to go higher than people thought. But doesn't that just mean a good player gets dropped at number five to Jim Harbaugh? It feels like he set this whole thing up.
Yeah, or if you're Jim Harbaugh at number five and they happen to have a pretty good quarterback in Los Angeles right now, you could trade back if you wanted to. I mean, it really is helpful for his position at that point in the draft, because I think a lot of people think that 4-5 point is sort of the inflection point in the draft. We know what's going to happen 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, start to differ.
All right, let's get into it. Mike Tannenbaum's latest draft. Of course, a couple things to note on this. Tannenbaum at one point was a general manager of the Jets. The other thing I always think is interesting is he's writing this from his point of view, what he would do. Tannenbaum, Tucker, is the guy that gave Howie Roseman his first job in the NFL with the Jets. So I always think, like, what is there something to his thought process? Like, he knows him. He interviewed him. He's a guy that helped him get into the league. Here it is, Tannenbaum's mock draft ESPN, number one overall, and it's become a consensus now. I'd be shocked if it goes anywhere. Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC to the Bears. Number two in this one, Drake May, quarterback North Carolina, goes to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU, goes to the Patriots at three. And then we have a big surprise. It's the Arizona Cardinals at drafting a quarterback. They have the fourth pick. They have been publicly supportive of Kyler Murray, but they go with J.J. McCarthy at number four. Tucker, it sets up another move down the line. But the Cardinals are interesting because this has been a spot where everyone assumes, well, they'll just draft Marvin Harrison. I think the Cardinals are the biggest wild card in the draft. They could draft Harrison. They could trade the pick. They could take a quarterback themselves. I don't know what they're going to do.
No, and as Tannenbaum points out, like, Murray hasn't played a full season since 2020. He dealt with that knee issue that, you know, cost him the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023. He's not older, but he's older than some of these younger guys. He plays a style of football that I don't think necessarily ages well. And you add on the fact that this is a team that's trying to rebuild. They're kind of restarting, having an aging, veteran, expensive quarterback. I don't think necessarily fits that role.
So 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks, and McCarthy ends up in Arizona. Number 5, the Chargers take Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. That would kind of fit. It feels like Harbaugh wants to bring toughness to Los Angeles. All right, so then the receivers start to go. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU to the Giants at 6. J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, Alabama, 7 to the Titans. Dallas Turner, first defensive player, edge from Alabama to the Falcons. Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to the Bears at number 9. I mean, the Bears never seem to have a good offense or a good offensive team. I have to imagine this would be like Christmas if they get Caleb Williams because of the trade they made last year with the Carolina Panthers. And then if Harrison Jr. falls to 9, I mean, that's probably as most set up the Bears have ever been.
Would that be the best wide receiving core of the NFL? With him,
DJ
with
Moore.
Keenan Allen and DJ Moore?
It's got to be up there right
and
away.
And overnight.
Yeah.
Overnight, that they go from a team that was desperate for a wide receiver. Remember 2 years ago, they had like Chase Claypool mm-hmm. as their top guy. They tried Allen Robinson when he came over from Jacksonville.
Darnell Mooney was there.
Yeah, and to go from that, you know, just dreck to Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and adding Marvin Harrison Jr., I think would be unbelievable.
So here's where this draft really gets interesting, and then we'll jump to the Eagles after this. Because all this kind of impacts the Eagles because weird things are happening, and as weird things happen, it's going to push a player down the board you wouldn't expect at 22. So Tannenbaum mocks a trade between the Vikings and the Cardinals. So the Vikings do get their quarterback, but it's not a drafted guy. It's Kyler Murray. So the Cardinals take McCarthy at 4. They trade Kyler Murray to the Minnesota Vikings and a third-round pick, and they get back the 11th, which, a couple of things. It's really interesting for Minnesota because in a division that I think is about to be really good, right, the Lions are good and have a quarterback. The Packers are good and have a young quarterback. The Bears might get good with Caleb Williams. So now the Vikings, they get Kyler Murray, but it also means the Cardinals have 3 first-round picks in this draft. They'd have McCarthy at 4. The player they take in this draft is Quinyon Mitchell, the corner at 11. They also have one of the picks in the 20s. So it kind of sets up the next phase of Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. But Kyler in Minnesota is kind of interesting with Kevin O'Connell.
It does, because I think that's an interesting matchup. And they're a team that really, even with Kirk Cousins, they're trying to win now. Mm-hmm. And even moving on from Cousins, I don't think necessarily points to them trying to rebuild. Keeping that band together, you're going to have to pay Justin Jefferson soon. I think it's a really, really intriguing move for a team that isn't necessarily looking 4 or 5 years down the line.
I think it'd be one of the best divisions in football. I mean, it might be anyway, but I mean, like, one of the worst teams is going to be either Caleb Williams or Kyler Murray. That's an interesting division. Okay, at number 12, Bo Nix. So 5 quarterbacks go in the first 12 picks. As we scroll down, we got some offensive linemen, wide receiver to the Saints, corner, guard, another receiver. At number 19, Michael Penix Jr. goes to the Los Angeles Rams. The reason I keep bringing up the quarterbacks is 6 quarterbacks in the first 19. Tucker, what that sets up for the Eagles is that it means to me, like before I even got to it, I knew someone that we didn't project at 22 is going to be there, because that's a lot of quarterbacks the first 19. And with the 22nd pick in Mike Tannenbaum's draft over at ESPN, the Philadelphia Eagles select Brock Bowers, tight end, out of Georgia. So I've been saying for a while they need defense, right? They've given out so much offense the last few years. But I'd make an exception for Brock Bowers. I love this. I think this is fascinating because a couple of things. One, he's just a weapon, right? He's a unique tight end. I mean, I think it was 2 years ago, there was a couple weeks early in the season where he was high in the Heisman odds, which I never thought I'd see a tight end. So it's a unique player. And then we're at that stage of Dallas Goedert's career where they, you know, when Ertz was here, they drafted Goddard. When it was Selleck, they drafted Ertz. So that turnover age for tight end, I think we're there now with Dallas Goedert. And Brock Bowers, he might be the next great NFL tight end. I know Laporta came in last year, and maybe it's him, but it wouldn't surprise me if Brock Bowers is a perennial Pro Bowler for the next 7 or 8 or 9 years.
No, I think Brock Bowers is unbelievable. And, you know, how often at 22 can you get the number one guy at his position, right? And I think if you took away positional value, he would probably be a top 5, top 10.
Definitely.
Prospect, and I do think it's an interesting fit because Dallas Goedert's a year older than Zach Ertz was when, you know, Goddard himself mm-hmm. was drafted, and I thought last year would be a great time for them to take a shot on a round 2 or round 3 prospect to kind of fill in behind Goddard, because Dallas Goedert's hurt a lot. As great as he is, you can't count on him to be there for all 17 weeks.
When was the last full season? Has there been one?
I don't know if there has been.
Yeah.
But you just look at what he's accomplished throughout his career, and I think if you add in someone like Brock Bowers, and we talk about them needing a third wide receiver, both these guys could play in the slot. You know, Brock Bowers, I don't think, is the best run blocker, so he would probably fit, you know, a little bit more if they moved him to the slot and moved him around a little bit and let Goddard stay inside and be more of an inline tight end. But you add him into that mix, all of a sudden the Eagles, who didn't run a lot of 12 personnel last year, I think it was like 12-13%, they would have the ability to do so. And I think it would really be helpful to Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and a running game that, you know, was pretty much predicated on Jason Kelce pulling and getting in space, being able to play with two tight ends, you know, at a pretty high clip compared to the rest of the NFL. I think it would be a huge weapon for Kellen Moore in this offense.
I think I saw recently that Kellen Moore was top 10 last year in two tight end percentage. Now, that was just one year, that a weird year in Los Angeles, but obviously he will do it. Right? He likes to do it. So there's that. So, I mean, you could, like they did with Goddard and Ertz, you can keep the two tight ends around at least for another year together, and then, you know, maybe that's it, and they'll move on from Dallas Goddard. I agree that Bowers could play the slot, and I just look at it as a weapon. I mean, he used to run the ball to the backfield sometimes too. This guy is a unique player. And Tucker, I also wonder if with the hip drop tackle change, if tight ends suddenly become more valuable. They're weird matchups, because a lot of times D-backs are on them, and if they're trailing these big tight ends from behind, you can't go up top with the horse collar. You can't go low with the, you know, with the hip drop. Tight ends might be coming back in a big way. I thought Laporta last year took the Lions offense to a different level. Imagine this offense with Brock Bowers here along with AJ and Devontae. That feels like an enormous amount of weapons.
I mean, just imagine trying to go small if you're another defense, right? And if you're putting Bowers or Goddard in the slot, I mean, think about who usually plays the slot for the Eagles, right? Guys like Avante Maddox, guys like Bradley Roby, like they would be too small to necessarily match up on that. And if you get guys like AJ Brown, like Brock Bowers, like Dallas Goddard in space in a world where a hip drop tackle is illegal, I mean, that's a huge weapon. I mean, this is a team that was really, really good at yards after the catch the last 2 years with Jalen Hurts. I think this rule change could be huge for them when you think about just how big and physical they are down the field.
I do, too. And then you think about the Georgia connection, right? How he's drafted so many kids out of Georgia the last couple of years. I'm sure they've done their homework on Brock Bowers. Now, is he really going to slip to 22? Probably not. But they know him a lot, right? They must have watched so much film with him on the field because they watched all the Georgia games and were down there with those guys and visiting. And Tucker, Bowers is interesting because I've seen mocks as high as 10, right, with the Jets. But then if he doesn't go like to the Jets or the Broncos in that range, in like the 10, 12 to 15 range, I'm not sure where he goes, because it is a weird position. It's tight end, right? There's not many first round picks. And if a lot of quarterbacks start to go, that pushes the best defenders down. So maybe someone says, well, we just got to take the best corner available. He's an odd guy where I could see the Jets taking him at 10. I could also see he's on the board at 19, and we're having discussions on the draft show, like, should the Eagles just trade up to get Brock Bowers? I could see him falling a little bit, maybe close to the Eagles.
Yeah, I think his stock will tell us a lot about what the NFL thinks about the tight end position now. And, you know, the last one we did, it was almost all offensive players in, like, the top 10. And even now, in this one, I think the first offensive player goes off the board at 8,
yeah,
right?
Dallas Turner,
the edge rusher from Alabama. And I think, you know, Brock Bowers, it'll be really interesting to, like you said, you know, he could just go at 10 because, you know, a team just falls in love with him and his ability to change an offense. And a team like the Jets does make sense, right? When you consider all the weapons they have offensively, they don't have a big tight end, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers could certainly use. But yeah, if I'm the Eagles, if I'm Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore's never had a tight end as good as Dallas Goedert, but you go back from his time in Dallas to Los Angeles, they usually used a couple tight ends. Mm-hmm. They were never this high profile, but he liked having multiple tight ends and as weapons in his offense. I just think it would be such a huge mismatch for the Eagles to roll out basically four top-tier pass catchers plus Saquon Barkley around Jalen Hurts, and maybe this is another conversation to have about Jalen Hurts' value and ability if he has to have all these guys around him to be successful, but I'd have a hard time finding defense that could stop them if they had this kind of weapon.
Yeah, and maybe we're at the point now where Howie seems more willing to change the way they usually do things, right? They've drafted some tight ends high, obviously Ertz and Goddard, but not first round. But I also never thought they'd pay a running back. Like, maybe Howie's just looking at the league, and maybe, like, couldn't you see in the press conference after the draft, if they take Brock Bowers, Howie's like, we saw what happened in Detroit. You know, Laporta changed the whole Lions offense. I mean, he had 10 touchdowns as a rookie. So I could see the Eagles looking around saying, man, this guy is a weapon. He changed things. Plus, right now, if they don't get another tight end, it's probably going to be more of three wide receivers. That's what the Eagles usually do. But I don't love their options at third wide receiver. I know Sirianni at the breakfast the other day was talking to Paris Campbell. He's not very good. And Devontae,
he's never healthy.
And Devontae Parker hasn't gotten open in like 5 years. That was the weirdest, just feels like a camp body signing. So if not Bowers, they still have a weird hole on the offense where someone's got to take the snaps.
Yeah, and the one thing I admire about Howie Roseman in his time with the Eagles is how he's been able to adapt and how he really likes to be ahead of the curve and kind of zig when the rest of the NFL is zagging. And this kind of feels like the perfect spot for that, where the rest of the NFL isn't necessarily valuing this tight end and his ability to change the game. I mean, I feel like that's what he would say at, mm-hmm. you know, midnight that Thursday when he comes out and starts talking about pizza and ice cream flavors and all the little things he likes to mention. I think it would make a lot of sense for the Eagles to basically say, hey, we know we have holes on defense. We know we probably need a cornerback. We probably need more depth along the offensive line. But as far as guys at 22 who could change the face of the team at that point in the draft, I think Brock Bowers is really the only one.
I agree. I love the pick. I love the idea of it. I know it's a little unorthodox. I would do it. Plus, I think it covers you if there's an injury next year to Devontae or AJ. Like, this guy could be your lead receiver or second lead receiver, and you win a lot of football games. Brock Bowers to the Eagles at 22. I'm into it. Mock Draft Mania. We'll do it again next week right here on WIP Daily.